I turn the dial and I strain to find direction. Searching for that almighty sound. Welcome back to Wasteland Radio. I'm your host, Charlie C., and today, as many of you know, many of you are out here today on Main Street, we are celebrating the founding of Amarillo, and it is a great day. We've got kids out on the street. You can hear them celebrating in the background here, and we're up here on the stage here on Main Street, right out in front of the station, and I have with me here a very special guest. He's kind of going to be co-hosting the parade coverage. I have with me Gus Dickerson, the owner of the Battle Pit. Gus, thanks for being here.
Oh, Charlie, it's an honor, and I thank you. And I tell you, one of the things that I have always wanted to do was to just call the shots on the annual Founding Day Parade.
It's fun.
It is. I wouldn't miss this for the world, or whatever world is left.
Yeah, whatever world is left. Absolutely. We have a great view, and we've got a great parade this year. We have some new floats that are going to be interesting. And as you know, every year we try to outdo one another, the various organizations and groups. So we'll see, and we can kind of talk about exactly what is going on. You know, there's some people who listen out there in the wasteland, and maybe they live in a cave, or maybe they live underground. They can't get out, or in a bunker somewhere. So we're going to kind of be the eyes and the ears for them.
Well, as I said, Charlie, it really is an honor, and I'm looking down Main Street right now from the view that we have, and I can already see exactly what you're talking about, that there are just so many floats and displays this year, just more than we've seen.
And you've got a rat stand here. They're selling rats out in the street. It's a beautiful day. The rats look fresh and delicious.
And that really is, that's a change right there, because if I recall, the 2116 rats, mm-hmm. it didn't quite have the same kind of snap.
That was the year of sort of the hunger strike. So, you know, the rats weren't being fed, the people weren't being fed, obviously, just last year. It
seems so now we've got good rats, and that's really what matters.
Yeah, and feed ourselves, feed the rats.
We are now seeing coming down, if I'm not mistaken, we're looking at the first float, which I believe represents the House of Joseph. Am
well,
I correct?
Well, there's that large cross there. It's certainly the House of Joseph, and it's got this gold cross, and you see the people waving, giving out little nuggets to the children, actual meat nuggets. It looks like to try to get them interested, and I guess to pass the word along that Joseph is will bring you food and whatnot. What are your thoughts about this Joseph movement that's kind of...
We've seen this going on for, how many years now? And
Joseph came into town, I believe, I'd say a decade. It's been about 10 years since he wandered in from the waste.
Well, all you know was the last time I came in here and we were talking about this, and I referred to him as Joe. We got so many people complaining.
Oh, my God.
You can't do
that.
You can't call him Joe.
He's Joseph. Yes,
Joseph.
Absolutely.
I got it. I got it now. Are we going to be able to talk with Joseph, by the way?
Well, we're getting down there, and I can see him. He's that one with the that large beard. He's got
a magnificent
beard, and he's coming down the street right now. But first, I want to talk about the Battle Pit. What's going on over there, and you guys going to have a float in today's parade?
Well, you know, I believe this may be the first year that we weren't able to put it together. You know, there's just been so much with the gladiator competition going on for the past I would say 4 or 5 months.
And then you sort of have the amateur competitions. You have the, I think you have the children's, the summer children's, what do you call that? You sort of help them, what is it? You take them out, the gladiators show them how to fight, and then at the end they have to actually duke it out with one
yeah,
another.
Exactly. It's kind of, let me call it junior.
Do you call it a school?
We call junior it junior gladiator? Smash, we call it. That's what we call it. We want to come up with a catchy name that the kids would enjoy.
You know, I wish I was a kid. It looks like so much fun.
Yeah, I know. And we were thinking of doing like a junior smash float.
Yeah.
And then just time got the better of us. You know, we just.
Usually does.
Exactly. I mean, last year we were able to put it together.
But it was magnificent.
Yeah, you know, you're right.
You had UGG and you had Smasher out in front just screaming at the top of their lungs, kill, kill.
Yeah, exactly. And they were like, oh, well, they were also, what was really fun was that we had the guys just volunteering to crush the rats for everybody, you know.
That was fun.
That worked out really nicely.
And they put them on this large podium you had. And they would take this giant mallet, I remember it, and just crush the rats, and it would go
Correct.
Everywhere.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I know that we were talking, one of the things, this happened, I guess it was last week or the week before, mm-hmm. that it was Mayor McKay had come to us.
Yes,
and
Mayor
asked
McKay.
Right, and she had asked about if we were going to put a float there. And,
so she really wanted you to get one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think she really wanted to see something.
And she's very
up
friendly
there.
with the battle.
Absolutely, definitely. Absolutely. Yeah, we
actually,
see her there all the time.
We have coming up to the stage right now, we have Joseph himself.
Oh, all right.
The man himself. Here he is.
The man with the house.
Hello.
Yeah, interesting. Now, so I can say that the
Hello,
Joseph...
Gus.
Joseph from the House of Joseph is now in the house to, like, if I can bring back a phrase from about a century ago, if that's okay.
Yes.
Joseph, how's the year been for you now? How are the converts going?
It has been enlightening, Gus, my friend. I have seen the wastes rejuvenated in my mind, and it is the goal of the House of Joseph to see it become a reality.
That sounds interesting.
Well,
so,
it does.
I mean, how do you?
Yeah.
What are your plans for that?
Well, first, we need donations. As you know, Gus, you get nothing done without Amarillo dollars, and we need them. And that is the first step to rejuvenating Amarillo, old Amarillo, and bringing life back to this wasted place.
Joseph, what exactly is your plan for Amarillo? If you receive enough contributions from the townspeople, what actually will you do? What is the future you see for us?
The largest, my largest goal is, and you know this, of course, is to tear down the wall separating old Amarillo from new Amarillo.
That sounds a little dangerous. That sounds a little dangerous, Joseph. And I know you've sort of proposed this off and on for many years. But it's, if you tear down the wall, you just leave us open to all these dangers. I mean, Gus, you have to have some kind of say in this.
Well, I figure, you know, you've got the Defense League that is really working on this type of thing, mm-hmm. and really all of the military here that has tried to keep Amarillo safe to compromise that wall.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to take a while. You're almost letting in the other element, and I'm not sure that we're ready for that.
From old Amarillo. Exactly.
Yeah, indeed, indeed.
Many of my parishioners from old Amarillo want this wall torn down, and this is the only way to bring us together, bring us into the light, bring us into the future. That is all I have to say. My float is getting away from me. Thank you both. I appreciate it. Praise be with you. Joseph, be with you. Goodbye.
Well, thank you, Joseph.
What an amazing person.
Charlie, would I wonder if Joseph, I didn't get a chance to ask him this question, mm-hmm. but I wonder if he would consider some sort of compromise. Like, I was thinking, you don't tear the wall down, but you paint it some nice color. You know, you do a little, you know, some nice designs on there, some pink, maybe some wallpaper. And people haven't used wallpaper in a while.
Paint
but,
a tree. Trees on it.
Yeah.
Up and down it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
That's a good idea.
I mean, something.
Because he's talking about green. We'll make this green, that green, bring into the light. Maybe just
paint
a sun
and some trees. I sense that Joseph won't be happy with any kind of compromise.
Yeah,
but look,
I don't think so.
But look,
I mean, he is the. He says he knows the way. So compromise is might not be possible.
Well, I'm just sure what way he knows. That's
yeah,
what I'm trying
yeah,
to figure
yeah.
out. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I would know this guy from a mile away, and I think it is a mile
actually,
away.
Yeah. And that's Franklin James, the oldest man in town, and he's riding in the Amarillo buggy. He's sort of, I guess you could call him the chair for this year's, he is the flag bearer for this year's parade. Oldest man in town. Now, as you may or may not know, every year the oldest man in town, and this used to be, my former weatherman until his head was crushed by the leader of a biker gang. But now the oldest man in town is Franklin James. He's very old. And, you know, I'm happy to know him, but he's a little, you know, he's getting on in his years, is all I can say.
Now, we have a dearth of mathematicians in Amarillo, but do mm-hmm. we have any sense of exactly how old Franklin James is?
You know, that's the tough thing. That's the tough thing. He's sort of like a stray dog, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no one who knew him from the before times, which he is
right.
one of the only people to in town who remembers.
Sure.
But he's, you know, as he gets on in years, he's forgetting that. He's making things up, or so we believe, or so the historians believe. And, you know, he claims to be about 85 years old. That's what he'll say if you ask him, 85.
Well, he certainly looks somewhere in that general range.
But last year he said 87. So it's a thing. Or, and, you know, if you ask him on Tuesday, he'll say, I'm 105. It's that kind of thing. So it's tough. It's tough to.
There's a lot of age wow and flutter. There is really what's going on. Can we? You think we could borrow Mr. James off that float, or can he swing by? Can we speak with him for a moment?
You know what? He's getting slow. He's getting slow. It looks like. I guess if we take a commercial break and a music break, we'll come back. He'll probably be here. You're listening to Wasteland Radio, and we'll be right back.
Are you ready for the great atomic power? Hey, y'all, this is Saul here at Saul's Guns and Ammo, and I want to tell you, we are located, friends and neighbors, on 6th and Route 40 in New Amarillo. Man, we got guns galore. That's our motto, guns galore. You come in, you want ammo, we've got that, too. You want a 50-cal round, we're going to get that to you. We are, yes, indeed. Saul's Guns and Ammo. Don't forget the name now. We're right there on 6th and Route 40 in New Amarillo. You come on in, you tell them you heard it on Wasteland Radio and Friends and Neighbor, and you're going to get a 10% discount. I'm counting on it, yes, indeed, and you, too.
This here's Sheriff Jebediah Riley of Amarillo. You are listening to Wasteland Radio.
Welcome back to Wasteland Radio. I'm your host, Charlie C., and I'm here again, as always, with, well, not as always, but very specially for this time only. This is the Founding Day Festival today. Every year, July 9th, we celebrate the founding of Amarillo. And I'm here with me today, Gus Dickerson, owner of the Battle Pit. Thank you again for being here, Gus.
Charlie, thank you. It is such a pleasure to be here.
It's great to see the whole community.
Yeah, honestly, it's nice to be away from the Battle Pit for a while.
You know, this is kind of an unofficial time. You know, when you get out from the winter blues, maybe, mm-hmm. and you see who survived the winter. Because, you know, we lose a lot of friends in this town.
This is true.
And it's good to see, hey, is this guy still around? Is Bob still breathing?
There you go.
And this is a good time to say, hey, Bob, you're still
alive. You don't have to tell me about that. I mean, where I am, look at that.
Oh, that's true.
But like I said, you know, I get tired of seeing all the chopping and slashing and beheading and whatever else goes on. You like to have a little break and just sit here where there's... not a lot of activity.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
but anyway, he made his way up.
Oh, okay, we got him.
And he's here, the oldest man in town, who's sort of the flag bearer for this year's parade, as in past parades. He is the oldest man in town, Franklin James. Franklin, thank you very much for being here and taking the time to walk up our podium or walk up to our booth. Thank you for being here.
Mr. James, it's a pleasure.
Hello.
Oh.
It's a pleasure to see you too, Gus. I love the shows.
Well, thank you, Mr. James. Now, you've been here for, I'm not sure how old you are, Mr. James, but you've been here from the beginning.
73.
A
spry 73.
Well, I'll say so. That would put your birth year somewhere around 20.
I'm as fit as a cranberry in the sun, my friend.
Well, you know, that shows. It really does. Now, you must have so many recollections of the early times in Amarillo.
I do.
Well,
I do.
Would you like to share some of those with us while we've got you here?
Well, I can tell you what parades were like in the olden times.
Oh, yeah?
Before the end. And, it was an amazing thing. You would have giant balloons in the sky with rockets on the back of them, and they would fly around and shoot missiles into the crowd, and you wouldn't be sad if you were picked to be blown to smithereens. You'd be happy to be chosen.
Okay,
it was a different time indeed, and you were happy to just be blown up. There were so many people around, it would end the misery. But, you know, it's a different time.
So, missile balloons, okay, I understand
yes.
that. Now, what was the...
There were giant mouses and... or mices?
Well, either mooses. One. Well, I believe it's mice, but that may have changed.
Floating.
True. Now, you're talking about the rodents, not those little things in the computers they used to have.
Exactly.
Okay, well, we just want to clarify. What was the music like? What was the entertainment like at the parades?
The entertainment was amazing. You had this sort of strange... I don't remember what it was called, but it would thrump into your brain and sort of you couldn't think about what you had to do tomorrow. It was so thrumming and abrasive. Do you want to hear what it sounded like?
I would love to hear that. I really appreciate it.
It was very strange.
Well, that's okay.
It's not like it is now, where it's you clank with pots and pans.
Sure.
It sort of sounded like lasers in the sky.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Because I was trying to. I'm. as a side thing that I do, I'm like a musicologist, and I like to trace back.
And Franklin James has so many interesting stories. Franklin, I just want to thank you for taking the time to talk with us today.
You're welcome.
But we've got to get on. We've got the Amarillo Defense League is coming down.
Here they are.
Coming down. Yep. And what I always like about their float is that they pull out all the stops. You know, they've got the machine gun turret, they've got their wielding axes like madmen, and it's a lot of fun. The kids get a kick out of it, and they throw down a little sort of, it looks like, what is that that they're throwing down there this year? Into the crowds?
Well, it kind of looks like a explosive Tootsie Rolls, if I'm not mistaken.
You know what? No? It might be sort of like miniature dynamite or something.
I'm just seeing these chocolate things just exploding, so I just figured...
It might be... You know what? There's Jed, who works there. He's a very... he likes to make explosives.
Now there you go.
Fool around with them, so he might have made some for the kids.
Look, for the work these guys do protecting our borders, they are to be praised.
So they really are. They're heroes.
Let them have their day, and of course, right behind that
is the Zed Assault Force, and now they're sort of a subsidiary of the Amarillo Defense League, and they keep us safe, of course, from the threat of the undead, which is the radiated undead, which is always threatening us, obviously, from the east. You're aware of the Pantex nuclear facility, which exploded years ago and sort of roasted half of old Amarillo and turned them into walking zombies.
Well, that said, do we have, and I haven't checked this lately...
I got to say, I love their float because they've got these zombies chained up, and what they'll do is they'll stop at certain points in the parade and just bash one over the head to show you what it's like out there on the front lines.
Well, look, and let that be a lesson to the folks who try to break in through the borders.
Exactly.
Do we have a zombie eradication count for 2117 so far?
You know, so far this year, I believe it's over 65.
That's
over
that's very
65,
impressive.
67. I can't quite remember. But, you know, it's kind of waning in years as people are becoming familiar with the borders, where the radiation leak is, you know, in terms of the town. I mean, you would find in the first years after the explosion, people would wander right out to the Glow Road, which has since been closed down, and try to go trading off east, and they would come back as these radiated undead zombies. But now people know, and the count is going down, which is a good thing, obviously.
So you're right. I have read about this several times now that we hear in that, the declining undead era, or the DUE.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's fairly well known, but I guess some folks still... don't believe that's actually happening.
Well, you do have these conspiracy theories that,
of course,
the mayor is bringing them into town to just keep us frightened, and she sort of, the last one I heard was from some old coot who claimed that she was actually driving them into town on these sort of wheelbarrows and dropping them in the middle of the street so they can jump into people's windows at night and scare them. Zombies are going to get in through windows. They want flesh. They smell the flesh. They sense the flesh. You don't have to bring them there. They can walk.
Well, you have to also understand that the fact that so many of the zombies have organized themselves to try to make themselves legitimate, such as, the Zombie Outlier Organization, or ZOO, which has gotten a lot of press lately.
Well, I mean, the biggest thing that I can't have them on the show because first of all, they try to attack you. Second of all, they just grunt and moan, and I don't understand where they're coming from in that way.
I don't know much about it, but...
They're barely sentient.
As a musicologist, I can say that I did a little research, and there was, in the early times, there actually was a musical outfit called the Zombies, and it made me wonder. I can't get a hold of any of their music, but I wonder if it was all just
actual
grunting.
Zombies. I wonder if they were actually.
I need to get
The old times, before when the elders were alive, before they destroyed... their own civilization. Just such a fascinating time.
It is, and there's such little record of it.
So it really is.
It's hard to say.
It's all blown to smithereens. And you know what? Up here, he's walking up right now. We have the communist leader. You know how I feel about these guys. You know, they're a large segment of the population in New Amarillo, and it's the communist. And so with us right now, we have Jed the Red.
Jed the Red.
And how are you today,
that is
Jed?
Correct.
How are you feeling?
I'm okay. It is quite a day, a very important day for Amarillo. So it's very important for us as communists to get our message out that all should be equal. When we say all should be equal, we mean everything split right down.
And now you sound kind of like the house of, you sound like Joseph a little bit. You don't want to tear down the wall because, I mean, there are people in old Amarillo who you can barely call people. They're mutants. They're sort of radiated out of their minds. You don't want to let them into New Amarillo. That's not what you're proposing, is it?
Well, not exactly. What I think we would do is propose a similar type of governance for the zombies, for the undead, and all of these other civilizations, if you would call it that, with the same situation where they all are equally, get their equal share, and the same as we. I wouldn't necessarily take the wall away. Mm-hmm. I think Joseph, his theories may be a little extreme, whereas for myself, Jed the Red, and the rest of the Reds, we want our government to really overtake everything else, whether
well,
it's
that
old
sounds
or new.
Pleasant, but listen, we've got to get to a commercial break in a second, but, you know, I want to touch on this. I never liked him when he was alive, but this year you have the Richie the Red Memorial Float.
Yes, indeed.
What did he mean to you? What did Richie mean to you?
Richie
and,
was...
And can I have to remind listeners, he did eventually turn into a gaseous cloud of vengeful radiation, and he went on a murdering spree, and he was a communist. But that being said, your memories of Richie in life?
Richie the Red taught me everything I know about communism. I mean, he was the beacon. He was the true source of all things communistic, if you will. He was the ultimate Red. His theories, okay, while potentially radical, his theories are really what created what we know as communism today. And it was a shame he had to meet his end the way that he did.
Well, that, you know, that being said, we're going to take a music break, and this is the Founding Day Festival, the Founding Day Parade. I've been talking with Jed the Red. We also have with us here Gus Dickerson, owner of the Battle Pits in New Amarillo at the corner there of Route 40 and 7th Avenue. We'll be right back.
Why do you whisper green grass? Why tell the trees what ain't so? Whispering grass the trees don't have to know. No, no. Why tell them all your secrets? Who kissed there long ago? Whispering grass the trees don't need to know. Don't you tell it to the breeze, 'cause she will tell the birds and bees, and everyone will know, because you told the blabbering trees. Yes, you told them once before. It's no secret anymore. Why tell them all the old things? They're buried under the snow. Whispering grass don't tell the trees, 'cause the trees don't need to know.
Now don't you tell it to the breeze, 'cause she'll run and tell it to the birds and bees. And everyone'll know, because you done told the blabbering trees. Yes, you did. You told them once before. So that's why it ain't no secret anymore.
Why tell them all the old things? They're buried under the snow, whispering grass, don't tell the trees, 'cause the trees don't need to know.
Are you fed up with Warlord Blood Oaths that aren't returning on your investment?
Uh-huh.
Are you sick of slave sales that leave you feel like the loser?
Yeah.
Are you tired of raiding parties that just don't seem to go anywhere?
Heck yeah.
Well, take it from me, you're not alone. Hi, I'm Marty Sabisky, and I've worked with dozens of chieftains, slaver CEOs, village elders, and private investors for the past 20 years, getting them their hard-earned due from slave raids, harvests, caravan deals, and much, much more. And now I can help you, too. Remember the great Houston slaughter of 2110? That was me and my investors, and we made a killing off the bloodshed. Fight for your resources today, because believe you me, you could be dead tomorrow. See your slave sales skyrocket. Witness your plunders turn an unbelievable profit. Leave the hordes in the dust and visit me, Marty Sabinski, high-risk investor at the intersection of Main and McKay Road in New Amarillo. Come down today! Heck yeah!
Welcome back to Wasteland Radio. I'm your host, Charlie C., and we are watching the annual Founding Festival, the Founding Parade that is being held today. And the festival is sort of a week-long event, and the parade is just this one day, July 9th, every year. And I'm here with Gus Dickerson, the owner of the Battle Pits in New Amarillo. And actually, during the commercial break, Mather's Farm Fresh produce float passed by. I mean, did you see some of those grapefruits? And the tomatoes looked like they were freakishly large.
No, exactly. I mean, we all saw just the fact that some of those tomatoes had feet, you know,
yeah.
made me wonder. But look, it's a great business they've got, and I always enjoyed their jingle. You know, Mather's Farm Fresh Produce, nothing rhymes with produce. You
That's
know,
a good one.
Comes right off
it's
your
catchy.
Head. Right.
Produce.
Exactly.
Produce.
Right. Okay. I mean, the old one wasn't as good as the old one, where it was Matthew's Farm Fresh Produce, all we have is an old goose, which kind of rhymes with produce, but
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but it's kind of, you're like, all you have is an old goose? It doesn't really make
doesn't
you want to.
It doesn't hit the ear. Yeah, it doesn't, yeah. Exactly.
It doesn't make you, it doesn't sell produce to
right.
you.
Right.
Whereas produce does.
How big do you think that egg actually is in the float, by the way? And is that a real egg? Is there something in there? Or is that just
well,
a
that's
prop?
What. Listen, Mather said there is something in there.
He said
it floated down, and as you know, Mather's farm is along Toxic Creek.
That's what makes me think of that.
He says it floated down the creek. He's not
right.
sure what's inside it. It feels warm to him.
All right.
So what he says. So.
We have to wait for something to hatch out of
I
there
guess,
and
but
find
you know
out what it
that's
is.
It's kind of a lucky break for him because he's never really had much success in the float competition. But a giant egg full of God knows what, that could win him the prize.
Well, especially if it decides to hatch during the parade.
Oh, my gosh, could you imagine?
Exactly.
And now passing us right now, speaking of Toxic Creek, we have the Toxic Creek Preservation Project float. And what they kind of did this year, it looks like, is they adorned the float with all the kinds of muck and the nastiness that they've pulled out of the creek.
You
and
know,
you can see that toxic barrel there.
I've always found this to be the most redundant float in the whole parade, because why wouldn't you want to preserve Toxic Creek? I've never understood why they're even in the parade.
Well, you know, it takes money to
True.
And it takes funds, it takes all kinds of supplies and shotgun shells, because
sure,
they are
sure.
out there on the frontier by themselves. trying to preserve this lake. So they come out and they make this float and they try to hopefully get people interested. And especially
Charlie,
get the kids
oh, exactly. No,
going,
hey, that's always fun. What kid?
Brown.
What kid doesn't want to take a trip to Toxic Creek? I mean, that's a rite of passage.
I remember swimming in it.
Me too.
And I mean,
look. Yeah, well, here we are.
Yeah.
Now, is it a coincidence, by the way, that right behind Toxic Creek Preservation is the Riley Emergency Medical Team? Tell me that wasn't the plan.
I don't think it was. Now, as you know, the Riley Medical Center on Amarillo Avenue has been a mainstay, and it's actually named after the family from which our sheriff is from, Jebediah Riley. The Riley's a well-known family in town, and they started that medical center. And you have this Riley Emergency Medical Team, which was kind of born out of that, and they go around and they help people. And they actually have the wagon and the donkeys that pull the emergency wagon, and that's basically their float this year.
And they even have, if I'm not mistaken, they have the original magazine that was owned by them, which was known as the Life of Riley. I'm just saying. Now, the Men of American Mail, I believe, is also
coming. They're
coming
behind us, or they're coming behind the Riley Emergency Medical Team, yes. And a very interesting story. A man came out here many years ago, I believe. This is according to our sheriff, who's been around here since he was a child. He's been in Amarillo. He says this man came out of the East claiming that he was part of the United States government. And, I mean, we haven't seen hide nor hair of these people, but still, you know, this is sort of the last remnant of the American government. And allegedly, they still have some kind of governance out here in the wasteland. So we don't know. I mean,
but they actually still track the actual mail.
They do.
Like whatever
they send
there
mail
is.
Out. They handle the mail for Amarillo, the American mail outpost here in Amarillo. And they go all around the world. They serve that function. But, you know, they also claim that the U.S. government is alive and well out east, which I don't know. I mean, how do you feel about
well,
that?
You know, I have my doubts about this.
Apparently they were a group of, like, little states, they used to call them.
That sounds about right.
And we're in Texas, as it used to be called. And it formed all these little kind of pieces of land for the United States. And kids learn about this. I've forgotten a lot of it I've been out of school for a while.
I've had a real trouble ascribing to this theory.
Yeah.
Because to me, with all those states, it looks like a big jigsaw puzzle.
And you, yeah.
Why would you want to live in a jigsaw puzzle?
It seems ridiculous to me. And, you know, when you're a kid in school, they show you that map with the weird different, and every state's a different color. I've been out of Texas, or what they call the Texas Territory, and it seems like the rest of the country is the same color as this part.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, you know. You look at those colors, and it just doesn't make it. And the shapes are also unusual, too. Some of them are almost perfect squares, but some of them look like things with smokestacks coming out of them.
And
that makes no sense.
If people made these states, why are they shaped so weirdly? I mean, I can see the squares. The squares make sense to me. And some of the there's some kind of triangular ones.
Yeah.
Those make sense. But then you have just these bizarre clumps that look like dirt in the ground or something. You know what I mean?
There's one that's shaped like a human hand. That's the one that gets me.
Yeah.
Why would you want to have a hand-shaped state?
That seems obviously made up.
I guess if wants to shake hands with some other state, but I don't know how you do that.
I don't want any part of it, but anyway, they send the mail, which is great. I mean, that's really connected us with
bless them for doing that.
They go out to Las Vegas, and they send the mail out there. I mean, they even go through wild grass, which is wild territory, and they'll head up to GSE, the Colorado Territory. That's how far north they go.
That's pretty impressive.
So you got to give it up for them, whether or not they pretend they're part of some kind of government or something.
Well, I'd like to know how they got the stamps they used, because all those stamps have we all remember, we've all heard about this deity, this god from earlier, this guy, what was his name, Elvis Presley.
And
they have stamps on
them. Well, and you still have some people who believe that he actually created the world.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
was but, something called with rocks, and he rolled them
right
and down a hill, and they it
but how could
apart.
He do that? Because the stamps and the stamps they have, he's like 2,000 pounds.
Yeah,
I mean, how could he roll any rocks
exactly.
that weight? But look,
I mean, unless he was the rock rolling. But
well, that
that's
could
a whole
be
other theory.
Am I mistaken? Is that actually Greta Green at the end of this
brother.
Parade?
Yeah, we have Greta Green. She's the leader of the old Amarillo Mutant League, and you can see her atop their float there. Mm. Now, what they're all about, and we know this, is they want rights for the mutants of old Amarillo. You know, I don't really want to have her on the show. I'm not a big fan of mutants in general. I think really that they're a lesser form of human, and they frighten me, frankly. They want rights equal to ours. If you've got an extra thumb or an extra hand, that's one thing. But if your brain is like the size of a cantaloupe, and you're you've got this giant cranium and an extra eye, and you're going around going, I don't think you should have any rights or be in New Amarillo.
Charlie, I for the most part, I do agree with you on this.
Mm-hmm.
My thought, however, is that is there any way that we can accept some mutants but not the others, depending upon what their mutation might be? Like, a mutant with about 50 eyes could be very good as an accountant. You know, you think about that. You might want to say, well, maybe we should give this guy a job and balance the books for us.
And that's
you
true.
Know.
I mean, you have the guys with the extra arms
yeah.
who are working actually for the Carlstead caravans,
okay.
picking up, sort of stuff and putting it into these wagons. So we do put them to good use, but some of them are just too weird, and Greta and her and the Amarillo Mutant League, the old Amarillo Mutant League, they want rights for all of them. They don't want to, again, they don't want
to
compromise.
That could be tough.
It's a lot. It's another special interest group, doesn't want to compromise. But, you know, they've got an interesting float. They get the mutants out there, the strangest of the strange, and they wave and they flap their flippers, and the kids love them.
Well, look, I'm one for what I call selective segregation.
Yeah.
And if that comes to be, then maybe someday you will have a very talented or very intelligent mutant sitting next to you covering the parade. You never know, Charlie.
I don't like to think about it.
I can tell. But
anyway, I guess that's as good a place as anywhere to leave this. They're passing us right now, the Amarillo, old Amarillo Mutant League. Next week we'll let you know who won the contest. But we're going to get out of here. This has been Wasteland Radio's coverage of the...
Charlie, watch out. There's another Tootsie Roll exploding right next to you. There.
Oh, okay. These kids are throwing them around. Over.
Well, you see what happens.
You're gonna put an eye out, lose a finger. You know, they never listen.
Well,
anyway, this has been...
Blame it on the Defense League.
Yeah. This has been Wasteland Radio. I'm your host, Charlie C., and I was here today with, again, the owner of the Battle Pit, Gus Dickerson. Anything going on this summer special that you want folks to know about besides the fight school, as you call it? Or?
Well, we got a special going on. We got a 2-for-1 head shop that's coming up, and I believe in August.
What's that?
Where if you want to use our guillotines,
mm-hmm.
you can you bring in a couple of folks, you know, who are clearly. Run afoul of Amarillo law.
Yeah, maybe mutated or,
exactly.
or zombified even.
You can basically chop off two of those heads for the price of one.
And that
which
is still legal. That is
absolutely.
Still legal.
And we've gotten the approval from the mayor that in the month of August we're able to do a twofer, and she's thinking that might keep down the mutant population.
And you know what? It'll get us through this year's drought. You know, because
that's a good
the
point.
Food will
I
be
had
scarce,
not thought of that.
The less heads around, the less mouths to feed. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. So you know, to coin a phrase that somebody I saw from some really old book from the before times.
The elder times.
Yeah, some people used to say two heads are better than one, so I guess we can actually adopt that phrase and it'll work nicely.
Price-wise, definitely.
Price-wise,
this has
yes.
been Wasteland Radio, and we'll check you next time.